Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Marriott proves no good deed goes unpunished, and the HomeAway website may be blocking negative reviews. We have updates.
The recent hurricanes prompted airlines to issue a rash of weather-related travel waivers. In our Make You a Smarter Traveler segment at 3:20, we explain what these waivers are and how to make them work for you.
At 3:35, we take a fun adventure together as we share packing tips according to your zodiac sign. Something for everyone as we tell you about your quirky packing habits. And we have a product review, a computer case, which turns into a backpack. Let's see if it passes muster with Chris.
Sounds like fun. The Trans-Siberian Orchestra returns to Sacramento for their annual visit in December. And at 3:50, we take you inside this year's program.
Sunday afternoon in Sacramento, Tom's away from home. Chris Galloway is in the co-host chair. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I got two tickets to paradise.
North to Alaska. I go north to rush you zone.
I swear, if the theme music gets any longer, we will not have room for the program. Actually, I kind of like that. Welcome to the Travel Guys. I'm Mark Hoffman. Just to my right is Chris Galloway, who is sitting in for Tom Romano today. Chris, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we have a great program for you here today. Some things to make you a smarter traveler. Some things to make you a funnier traveler. The zodiac sign thing at 3:35, I think, is going to be... See if you see yourself in these packing tips for all the signs of the zodiac. So Chris, welcome to the Travel Guys. Big day yesterday for the company that underwrites this program, Sports Leisure Vacations. A big tour preview day at the Crowne Plaza Hotel with almost 700 people in attendance.
And everything went smoothly. It was a great day.
It was a great day. So for all the folks who are listening who might have been there out there with us yesterday, thank you for coming and thank you for listening today. And for those of you who are Sports Leisure travelers and were not at Tour Preview yesterday, you will be receiving a tour catalog in the mail in about a week. And if you are a mature, active traveler and you would like to be a part of the best travel company in Sacramento, you can go to sportsleisure.com and request a copy of the brand new catalog called Getting Your Kicks with on Sports Leisure Trips. So thank you again to all the folks who came out yesterday. And at the top of the program, we always bring you the travel news. Well, we're talking here about Marriott. Chris, you saw this story about Marriott this week. And probably lots of folks have heard about it. And I just wanted to bring it up here. It's been around for a few days now. If you haven't heard, Marriott International decided that they had a whole lot of guests staying at their St. Thomas properties. And after Hurricane Irma had passed through, there was no way to get people off of the island because the airport was pretty decimated and they wanted to get to help their people immediately. So Marriott decided to charter a ferry that was in the Dominican Republic and brought it over to pick up their guests on St. Thomas. And in the no good deed goes unpunished category comes the fact that Marriott went after to rescue what originally we were told was 600 hotel guests. Now a report I hear today says, or that I read today, says only 320 hotel guests. But nonetheless, hundreds of Marriott hotel guests were stranded on St. Thomas. They sent a ferry boat there, a 30,000-ton ship at a cost of over $100,000. After coordinating, of course, you've got the Dominican government and the government in St. Thomas. And you've got to make sure that all this is working for everybody because you've got immigration issues and stuff like that. So the ship goes, the ferry boat goes to St. Thomas to pick up the people. And on the 8th of September, and when they get there, the guests that they have scheduled to go on board are there, but there are also, by most reports, as many as three dozen other guests who are not on the manifest, were not guests at any of the Marriott properties, but nonetheless are desperate to get off of this island. And Chris, as you mentioned, of course, the whole place is just flattened. I mean, there was every reason for people to want to go home.
Exactly.
And to try to get off of the island. But Marriott has caught some flack by some media for the fact that these folks were left behind. And they say the reason they were left behind is because there were very strict procedures that they had to follow in order to bring that boat in and get those hundreds of people off of the island. And the people who were at the boat, who were not Marriott guests, were not part of those procedures.
Right. But, you know, I don't feel that the fault falls on Marriott. Excuse me. It's all bureaucracy. But at some point, humanity has to trump bureaucracy. Those people should have been allowed on board that vessel and then sort the red tape out later. You've got people in a humanitarian crisis. You take care of the people first. Worry about legalities later.
Well, you would have maybe thought, let's see here, Tim Sheldon. Yeah, Tim Sheldon is the spokesperson for Marriott International, president of Caribbean and Latin American. He says security personnel employed by the dock company would not, and we asked them repeatedly, allow the extra people through the port gates and boarding area because they were not on the manifest we prepared in advance as a requirement for the boat to depart for international waters. The general managers who run our hotels on St. Thomas tried to work with dock personnel to allow them to get on the ship. We certainly had room on board, which makes this both frustrating and disheartening. So it kind of sort of sounds, and I wasn't there, so you almost would have had to been on site to know what really happened that night. But it sounds like, to your point, Chris, that the dock workers were a little bit gregarious in enforcing the rules. And of course, I don't know, were there 3 dozen people there? Were there 300 people 50 feet away that if they let these 3 dozen people on, they would have had an immediate security issue? I have no idea, but I tend to agree with your point that at some point you would have thought that maybe just humanity would have kicked in and they would have said, all right, let's let these people out of here and get this boat out of here. But anyway, Marriott ended up getting kind of raked through the coals and got some garbage from some travel bloggers who said, you know, how could you leave these people behind? And apparently, at least according to Marriott's side of the story, they did the best that they could to try to get them off the island. Okay, moving along. Two hurricanes that have just hit the United States, two Category 4 hurricanes when they made landfall, something that's never happened before, back-to-back Category 4 hurricanes, created a situation where a lot of folks who were traveling, these are resort areas, everything from the Florida Keys to all of the islands that are out there in the middle of the ocean, and what it told us was that people who had third-person people who had booked with online travel agencies, OTAs, in many cases found themselves in a situation where they had no one to advocate for themselves. So people who booked, if you had booked with a travel agent, let's pretend that you're down in an island out in the middle of the ocean, and your only way to communicate is with email. And when that hurricane hits, your only way to communicate is going to be no communication at all. So if you have to call an Expedia or a booking.com or anybody like that and contact them to get an update on your particular situation, that's going to be kind of difficult. But if you are in a position where somebody can advocate for you on land, imagine that you were from Sacramento and you had gone to one of these remote islands to St. Thomas and you were having a wonderful vacation, except that suddenly a hurricane comes up and Mother Nature throws a curveball. And now everything is decimated. So you're trying to get off the island before the hurricane hits. But by the time you get into the countdown hours, there's no more flights. There's no more way to get off. And once the hurricane hits, there's no more way to communicate with anybody. There's no way to wait on hold for an hour or 2 hours for someone to help you or for someone to call you back and tell you that they're trying to help you or to pay any attention at all. If you had had a travel agent, a real travel agent, who did a good job. Now, some travel agents are not worth their salt, but if you had a travel agent that was worth the money you were paying them, then hypothetically, they're in a 24/7 position to be able to advocate for you, and ultimately, you might have been a lot better off. You might have been a Marriott guest who could get a communication through your travel agent that something was being worked on because your travel agent knew about that. So I really think that this really points out, and something that we really emphasize on this program a lot, is that third-party online travel agents can be wonderful for comparing prices and stuff like that, but when it comes down to it, if you possibly can, try to book with the agency that try to book directly with a hotel, with an airline, with somebody that can advocate for you, or get yourself a good travel agent, because really and truly, the internet is just littered with stories from people who had online travel agents and couldn't get a hold of them, or couldn't get a hold of them before the time ran out on them. And one comment here by one traveler who was stuck: there's no face behind the phone. And so I will never use them again. User named Brian from Greenville said of Hotels.com, after the website refused to refund any money as a state of emergency was declared for North Carolina. We're not talking about the middle of the ocean here. We're talking about North Carolina. So anyways, it's something to think about. If you're planning that great vacation, is find yourself a human being who can help you with it. From the Department of Commerce, we've been talking about whether or not were international tourism inbound numbers to the United States really going to fall as a result of the United States sending out this message to the rest of the planet that some of you are not welcome here. It appears as though the numbers are now starting to come in the first 3 months of this year compared to last year. Commerce Department figures say that 700,000 fewer international tourists arrived in the United States for the first 6 months of the year. Extrapolated, that would be almost 3 million tourists for the entire year. Keep in mind that tourism is our number one export. It's our number one cash balance of trade. It is the thing that brings the United States the most money over the amount of money. Foreign tourists spend a lot more money here than we spend there. So when 700,000 fewer foreign tourists come in the first 3 months of the year, that means that a lot less money got spent. And that balance of trade issue that is so important to us obviously was not as profitable for the United States. So we'll keep an eye on that and see where it ends up. And finally, last item in the travel news today, HomeAway apparently is blocking negative reviews. If you book with HomeAway, you get out there and you have a situation that might solicit a complaint, be aware of the fact that if the homeowner knows that the person posting the home knows that you are unhappy and are about to complain, all they have to do to keep you from being able to complain, apparently, is to cancel your reservation while you are still there. If they're able to do that, then you have absolutely no way to be able to complain about your stay. And so this is kind of going on quite a bit. This is from an Elliott.com traveler who stayed in Fort Lauderdale. A rental experience was horrible. AC didn't work properly. Unit was dirty on arrival, etc. And so it was extended stay. They had a hard time getting their money back and found out that they couldn't even complain about this. So if you are a HomeAway customer, be aware of the fact that you may not be able to report it if you get an unsatisfactory property, that there are ways for the owner to keep you out of that. And that's your travel news for today. Coming up next on the Travel Guys, we are going to make you a smarter traveler. We're going to talk about weather waivers that are issued frequently by the airlines. What are they? How do you use them? How can they be of use to you? You are listening to the Travel Guys on KFBK. Welcome back to the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman sitting in today. Chris Galloway is joining me. Tom Romano is away for the weekend in Texas, down in San Antonio with family. Chris, are you do you tip housekeepers? Are you a housekeeper tipper?
Of course.
And this was kind of an interesting little discussion online this week. We've discussed this before on this program. I'm a pretty big advocate of housekeeper tipping. The question here was, do you tip more or less in let's say, for example, you're in New York City and you're staying in the Marriott Marquis. Would you tip more to the housekeeper than you would if you were staying in an inexpensive Hampton Inn that was 2 miles from Times Square?
You know, I tend to tip according to the city that I'm in and the cost of living. So New York City, regardless of the hotel I'm in, uh-huh, I'm going to leave a larger tip for the housekeeper because it's a higher cost of living.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you're in a smaller town, then I tip a little bit less.
So whether you were at the Hampton or the Marriott, you'd leave the same amount for the housekeeper?
I do not tip according to the hotel. Okay. I tip according to the location.
Which was kind of the point here, was that they were kind of agreeing with what you say, is that you should be tipping according to the person that you're tipping. And just because somebody's working in a better hotel doesn't necessarily mean that they're making a lot more money or that they're better off. Or
they're
that...
doing the same job.
Yeah.
They're making beds, they're vacuuming, they're dusting. You know, Travelodge or the Marriott, it's the same job to me. That's the way I feel about it.
Cleaning the toilet takes the same amount of time and effort and stuff like that. I've always kind of felt like that if somebody cleans up before me and after me, after the last guy and after me when I leave, why it should be. The other thing is, and I don't know if you've had this experience, but the numerous times that I come back to my room and there's a little note from the housekeeper, thank you very much. Or she's left additional amenity bottles.
I was
bottles.
About to say, if they do a little something extra,
yeah,
then I'll leave a little something
they've
extra.
They've taken a towel and put all your toiletries on them in the bathroom or something.
That's
like that.
That's always a nice touch. Well, I enjoy that.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. All right. We're going to talk about weather waivers here in our Smarter Traveler segment today. Something that will help folks when they're on the road. If you travel a little or travel a lot, when something comes up weather-related or something disaster-related, airlines frequently will issue a weather waiver. Have you seen one of those, Chris?
I have.
Okay.
Yep.
So usually they are for a very tiny window. For example, let's take during the hurricane last week. The airlines waited until a couple, 3 days before the storm, and then they said, all right, if you don't want to travel on these days, the days the storm is predicted to hit, we'll give you, generally the window's not big, a week or 2 weeks after the storm is supposed to leave to rebook, and we won't charge you a change fee. The $200 fee that United, Delta, and American charges would go away. And so, in essence, it's a get-out-of-jail-free card. Of course, it doesn't matter with Southwest because they don't have a change
fee. They're the easiest airline to work with.
Yeah, exactly. So, if, of course, now here's the deal that works against you with Southwest. You pay whatever the fare costs. So with Southwest, if they said, well, we don't charge a change fee, but if you canceled your flight and you moved it to something that was within 21 days, you are likely to pay a higher fare than you originally had. And Southwest wasn't giving anybody any breaks on those particular fees. Now with Southwest, you could have taken that trip and canceled it and traveled 6 months later, but you couldn't have done that on United, American, or Delta because they were all saying, all right, we'll give you a window and you've got a week, 10 days, 2 weeks, to complete this travel. Let's pretend, for example, you were going to Houston to visit family or to Florida to visit family. And they were in the middle of one of these areas. They lived anywhere in Houston or anywhere in southern Florida. The chances of them being ready to receive you as a guest within a week or 2 weeks are probably pretty slim.
Right.
So those travel waivers work fairly well for business people whose trip must go on. And the fact that it's been 2 or 3 days delayed, they've got to go anyway. But for somebody who's traveling on a leisure standpoint, it's not as good. Now, if you get into a situation, let's pretend you had a ticket to go to Florida and you didn't want to go into the middle of a hurricane. So you're watching, you go to the airline websites and watch. Generally about 72 hours ahead of time, they will post a weather waiver for a large storm, 48 hours ahead for a smaller storm, 24 hours ahead if it's just a local disruption. And they will tell you on the website what the parameters are, and that will allow you a get-out-of-jail-free card. The airline is not going to contact you, most likely, to tell you that this is available to you.
So the onus is on the traveler.
Yes, the onus is on the traveler. Now, if your flight was canceled, then the airline, of course, would contact you mm-hmm. by whatever method you had given them, email, phone, whatever, and they would say, your flight has been canceled, here are your options. And if your flight is canceled, then you have the opportunity to be able to get a full refund. So these weather waivers are a little bit tricky. It depends on the airline that you're traveling with and how badly do you need to go. Because in some cases, if you wait and your flight gets canceled, then there's no way the airline can charge you. But if you wait and somehow your flight takes off 8 or 10 or 12 hours late, then you've lost the full value of your ticket.
Question.
Yes.
So what happens if they give you the 2 weeks where you can... The waiver, they give you the 2 weeks window to
right.
rebook the flight. What happens if you don't book the flight within that 2 weeks?
Then you've lost the full
you
value.
You lose the entire value
the
of the ticket.
The entire value of the ticket, yeah.
Oh, that's not right.
Yeah. So see, that's a little bit tough, especially when you get into a situation like Florida and Houston. Miami and Houston are large cities. So and in Miami, you not only had Miami, but you had Lauderdale, Orlando closed for a while, Tampa, Fort Myers. Never mind the little airports that were impacted, like Key West. But the bigger airports, those are hundreds of flights a day. So the other thing is, when you go to rebook, what if you can't get the arrangement that you
exactly.
want? We're not talking about a fare increase here, but maybe you now you can only get something with a 9-hour layover. You're taking your 84-year-old elderly mother with you, and she can't handle something like that. So I'm going to suggest to you that when a weather waiver comes up, you want to watch for those on the airline websites. And if one airline issues a waiver, you can be fairly certain that a waiver is coming from the other two major carriers fairly quickly. Once it's issued, determine whether or not you can work within those parameters. If for any reason you cannot, immediately call the airline. Don't wait for the storm to hit and the backup to be created and all the people on the phone to be frazzled, but call the airline immediately, tell them of your situation, and see if there isn't an available workaround. Depending on your status level and what your situation is, sometimes there can be. But weather waivers are an incredibly important part of travel. And again, as Chris points out, the airline is not going to call and tell you that they've issued this waiver. You're going to have to be smart enough to be able to notice that it's been done. The other thing that you can do is in many cases, you can leave a on the website when you purchase an airline ticket, you can ask to be made aware of any updates. And with American Airlines, if you have indicated you want an update, they will tell you that the weather waiver has been issued. United and Delta, perhaps not so much. So anyways, hopefully that makes you a little bit smarter traveler when it comes to weather waivers issued by airlines. When we come back, we are going to talk to you about your zodiac sign and packing. This is a great list, and it's kind of fun, and we have something for everybody here on the 12 months of the zodiac sign. That's coming up after the news, and also an update on the TSO Orchestra in Sacramento, coming up at 3:50 on The Travel Guys.
Chewing on a piece of grass, walking down the road.
Welcome back to The Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman here. Chris Galloway sitting in for Tom Romano. Hi, Tom, down in Texas, if you're listening. You ever been walking down the road, chewing on a piece of grass?
I can't say that I have.
Yeah? Yeah. I don't know where they got that. But, I don't even know why that came up. Chris Galloway is here for Tom today. Tom is down in Texas. He will be back next week. We have the most anticipated part of the program here. This is kind of fun. I saw this last week. 12 packing tips according to your zodiac sign. And if you are a listener to the program, you know how enthralled I am with lists. And so one of them makes it on the air every once in a while. And Chris, I thought this is kind of fun.
Yeah, I've read through this and I have to say Scorpio pegged me. So
you think so?
Yeah, I think the Gemini kind of fits you as well. So.
All right, let's see here. So if you are your zodiac sign will come up here, the entire list, along with everything that we talk about on the program today, connections to anything that's a topic on the program can be found at travelguysradio.com. You can also go to travelguysradio.com and sign up to get a link sent to you to the podcast every Tuesday. So if you miss the program, you'll get a link to the podcast in your mailbox every Tuesday, and it will be sans commercials and news, so you will get the express 43-minute version of the program. All right. Zodiac sign packing trips, these tips, these are. Let's see how this goes. Aries is first on the list. Why they started in, that's March 21st, April 19th here. And for it says, as an Aries, you are highly ambitious and driven, but more often start projects than you can finish. When it comes to packing, you might think you've got it all figured out ahead of time, but your impatience often gets the best of you and you find yourself rushing to get it over with and get on with the trip. Packing tip, you're naturally organized, but need to take your time. Make a list and stick to it. Make sure every item you're packing is something you'll end up using more than once. More than once? Good Lord. More than once?
I think we need to share that with some of our lady travelers.
You think so?
4-day trip,
five
pair of shoes.
All right, let's see. The next one is Taurus. That's late April to late May. If Taurus is your zodiac sign, you may be a chronic overpacker. Your naturally stubborn nature makes it hard to decide what's worth keeping and what's worth best left at home. This means you often end up with a heavily overstuffed suitcase and no room for survivors.
Souvenirs.
Yes. packing tip. Evaluate the usefulness of every item you're packing and let go of just-in-case items. Invest in multiple purpose gap, blah, 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 blah. Okay, that's a commercial. And let go of just-in-case items.
All right, so I'm going to read this one. This is you, Gemini, May 21st through June 20th.
All right.
When you're a Gemini, packing a suitcase is no easy task. Indecisiveness is often the biggest obstacle and can make it hard to get and stay organized.
Well, that
on a
sounds
trip.
Exactly like the Taurus people there. Okay, so what's the packing tip for me?
Set your natural creative intuition aside and commit to getting organized.
Oh, wow.
I think that's fair.
That is unfair. You've seen me unpack my suitcase more than once on the road.
I can't believe the amount of stuff you bring along.
Oh, that is so not true. All right. Let's see here. After Cancer is next, after Gemini here, we're running down packing tips for all signs of the zodiac. Cancers. As a Cancer, you are naturally sentimental, and the precious memories you make on a trip mean a lot to you. You naturally treasure every moment of a trip, which is great, but this tendency can make you a bit of a hoarder on the souvenir front. Packing tip. Cancer should always leave extra room for the souvenirs. But you can also do a lot more during the trip to minimize how much you're toting home. At the end of each day of your travels, look at what you've collected and decide what's actually important to bring back. We're guessing you don't need the receipt from that restaurant or the museum brochure. You're definitely not going to look at again.
Oh, that's
a hoot. That's a hoot.
All right. So Leo is up July 23rd through August 22nd. Let's see. As a confident Leo zodiac sign, you are prone to putting things off to the last minute, especially when it comes to packing. Often you know exactly what you're planning to pack, but when crunch time hits, you're prone to forgetting the important stuff.
Yeah, like your passport.
So packing tip. Fight your instincts to delay and start packing for your trip way ahead of schedule. Set aside everything you know you'll want to bring and try to get ready to go at least 1 or 2 days in advance. This will give you plenty of time to remember those last minute items.
Virgo is next. For Virgos, you take pleasure in staying organized, so chances are you're already an expert when it comes to packing. You know the pros and cons of rolling and folding, and you have clear packing goals for each trip. And so here's the packing tip for you. Every true Virgo knows there's always more room to be more organized. Investing in tools like packing cubes, backseat organizers, and anything with multiple secret compartments will help you pack with pleasure.
All right, so
serial packers, those. So Libras, this is September to October here. As lovers of balance, Libras tend to be very organized when it comes to packing, but suffer from some indecisiveness. Weighing the pros and cons of each item can be a tough task for a Libra with limited space, but there are always ways to use this indecisiveness to your advantage. Libras, as their packing tip, love to surround themselves in beautiful things. So when it comes to packing, you should invest in higher quality luggage and clothes. Investing in a chic duffel bag, fancy toiletry trip, or well-made clothing will motivate you while you pack and make it much easier to decide what's worth bringing. So the Libras are the ones who spend the money.
There you have it.
So you'll be able to tell the Libras at the airport because
they have the nicest luggage.
They have the nicest luggage. All right, let's see.
All right, so Scorpio, October 23rd.
That's you.
That's me. October 23rd through November 21st. Let's see. As a determined Scorpio, you are typically on top of your packing routine. You've done all the research and know every packing hack in the book. Your resourcefulness makes you a big fan of do-it-yourself tricks, and you're always happy to share your tips with friends. That's very true. My packing tip. Just because you figured out how to fit everything into your suitcase doesn't mean you need to bring your whole closet. Make this your packing mantra. I'm not going to pack as much as I can, but rather only what I need. Repeat as necessary.
Yeah.
That is very true.
Yes, it is.
That is very true. In the beginning, I used to carry 2 bags, and now I can get a 10-day trip into 1 bag.
I'm now where I take 3- and 4-day trips with a bag that legitimately would be a legal carry-on. So, yes, it's helping. Sagittarius. By the way, you're listening to the Travel Guys here on KFBK. This is Mark Hoffman along with Chris Galloway filling in for Tom Romano today. We are going over packing tips that have to do with your zodiac sign. So if you just tuned in and we've already passed yours, we're up to Sagittarius now. You can go to travelguysradio.com and you can find the entire list of all of these tips there. As a Sagittarius, you're prone to sentimentality. And your biggest packing challenge is choosing items for the utility, not your emotional attachment to them. When you're deciding what to bring, try to imagine whether you will actually use that item. Try to imagine it. Picture it. If you can't, you probably leave it home. Packing tip for Sagittarius. Because you form strong attachments to place, you like to bring back beautiful reminders on your travels. Save space for souvenirs on the way back home, bringing only what you need to be there. That's a pretty common.
Very good tip there. I
mean, yes, for anybody going out traveling who likes to bring home souvenirs, make sure you leave a little space in your suitcase. Chris, what's the next one there? Give us Capricorn.
Capricorn. As a responsible Capricorn zodiac sign, you are always on top of packing. You keep things organized and are always prepared for the worst, sometimes too prepared. Packing tip. Before you pack, think about your destination. Decide whether you can get emergency items while you're traveling and what the average cost would be. If it can be found easily for a reasonable price at your destination, there's no need to waste room in your suitcase for something you only maybe might use. You know, that is a very, very good tip. Michael Downer, who works in our office, tells me all the time, all you need is a passport, credit card, and cash. You can make anything else happen.
Yeah, very true. Very, very true. All right, Aquarius here. If you're an Aquarius, packing probably does not come naturally to you. You might know exactly what you want to bring, but the actual act of packing might bore you. You have a tendency to leave packing to the last minute and often end up forgetting things on your mental list. Write down everything you want to bring. Keep a running list and try to leave time for last-minute inspiration. You might need a little help staying organized, so it's a good idea to invest in packing cubes. How do packing cubes fit into suitcases, though?
I don't get that.
I don't either. Pisces, in late February to March, as Pisces as your zodiac sign, you are naturally attracted to gear and are always looking to get your hands on the latest gadget. There's plenty of exciting new technology on the market for travelers. Be careful not to pack too much. Your packing tip as a Pisces is, we love testing out the latest in travel technology, and you should too, but take time to in advance to evaluate what will actually be useful on your trip so you don't fill up your suitcase with gadgets you'll only use once. That's kind of interesting. So that's a rundown on packing tips, regardless of your zodiac sign. And oh my goodness, we're kind of up against the clock here. So our little product demonstration, we'll save that for next week.
Okay.
And what we have here is a computer case.
It's a computer sleeve.
Sleeve, okay.
That turns into a backpack.
Yes.
If need be.
And you've kind of, I purchased one because I thought it was kind of neat, and you've done a review, and so we will save that for next week here on the Travel Guys. If you're curious, you can go to travelguysradio.com, and a picture of the computer sleeve and all of the information is there. All right. When we come back, the Trans-Siberian Orchestra makes an appearance in Sacramento every holiday season. I got an opportunity to see them for the first time, actually in Kansas City on the road last year. And if you like Christmas music and you like rock and roll, then this is...
It's definitely on my bucket list.
It's definitely someplace you ought to be. We will give you details about TSO's appearance in Sacramento coming up right after the break. Music of TSO. Earlier this week, Tom Romano, before he took off and left me here all alone, Tom Romano sat down with the folks from TSO and talked about their visit to Sacramento coming up this December.
You found us. It's the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on KFBK. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And it's an honor, once again, here in 2017, to spend some time with the musical director, lead guitar player, long time member of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. It's just around the corner. They're going to be performing in Sacramento this year a little earlier than last, December 1st. And tickets will be going on sale on September the 15th. Those of you that are TSO club members, pre-sale begins on September 6th. But then again, if you're a member, you already knew that. Al Petrelli, welcome again to the Travel and Entertainment Guys, my friend.
Oh, Tom, thank you for having me. It's good to hear your voice, my friend. I hope everybody's good by you.
Everything is well here. First of all, for those that that may not have caught the news, we lost the creator of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Paul O'Neill. What was it, earlier this year, Al?
Yeah, it was early April. Yes, sir.
You know, a lot of people were, the first thought was, of course, for you guys and for Paul and his family. But the concern also became, what about TSO and will they continue to perform and where do they go from here? How did all that come down, Al?
Well, you know, Paul's family, they're an incredible bunch of people. I mean, you know, it's their legacy to continue on, you know. Paul, when I started working for Paul in 1995, I mean, I met his wife Desiree around the same time, their daughter Island. I mean, they've been incredible to work for over the years, and the legacy will continue. I mean, this is their child to continue to watch grow. So, I mean, on a personal level, it's tragic, it's heartbreaking, it's all those emotions. You know, anybody who loses anybody that important to you and that you love so much, I mean, you never really get over it. But that being said, Paul always spoke of Walt Disney and how, you know, Disney lived on, you know, as a company long after his passing. Wish that, you know, TSO would live, you know, 100 years, you know, after ours. I just know that nobody expected that 100-year clock to start ticking this year. So, you know, there's an empty chair at the dinner table that will remain empty. But the table will still be the table.
By the way, for those of you that that have never been to a Trans-Siberian Orchestra concert, $1 of every ticket, $1 to $2 of every ticket sold goes to charity. They're up to $14 million so far, and a lot more to be made. Performing in front of almost a million people last year, Al. And again this year, you're coming to Sacramento, and for those that are new to TSO, give them a little bit of an update as to what the show is going to be about this year. And what Trans-Siberian Orchestra program are you planning on doing this time around?
Well, we're going to perform The Ghost of Christmas Eve for folks in your community who have, I consider them our repeat offenders. You know, they've come back year after year. They'll have the familiarity of the show that they've embraced as their own. But it will have a completely different look as usual. Every year we try to change the production massively. Musically, the opening of the show and the second half of the show will be completely different. You know, we always try to do that, you know, just to keep it a little different for, again, the repeat offenders. And for people in your community who have never seen us, I mean, I invite you to come join us in just one of the most fun, over-the-top spectacles ever. I mean, musically, it covers everything from, you know, the great composers, you know, Mozart, Beethoven, Liszt, Tchaikovsky, you know, right through, you know, more modern forms and genres of music. I mean, there's heavy metal, there's rock and roll, there's R&B, there's blues, there's jazz. I mean, there's everything that you could imagine. And if you're a fan of, you know, theater productions and Broadway productions, then you'll love Paul's Tale, you know, The Ghost of Christmas Eve. It's a very Frank Capra-esque story about, you know, a teenage runaway who just wants to get home on Christmas Eve because she misses her parents.
Tell our listeners about the entourage. What is it that you put on stage? What is your person?
Well, you have the band itself, which is an eight-piece rock band. You have eight of the greatest singers on the planet bringing the songs to life lyrically, an eight-piece string section. And that's all surrounded by the biggest rock and roll production ever. I think we have approximately 18 or so tractor trailers. We have
18?
So much. I mean, 18. You know, the production, we have more pyro than any other band out there. The lasers, the moving lights, the trusses, the video screens, the entire arena becomes the stage. It's not just that, you know, the lighting trusses aren't just over the stage and over the band's head, but most of the audience has stuff over their head. You know, a lot of special effects, a lot of just a lot of surprises, where the last row in the arena is the front row for half the show because you have such a different vantage point down there. You know, you can see everything taking place, and it's just complete sensory overload. You know, visually it's a spectacle, musically it's over the top, and yet at the center is a very intimate, well-told tale about a young runaway who just wants to go home.
Now, for those, again, that have not had an opportunity to catch your program, it's not a one-parter. It's a two-parter. Explain.
Well, the story, the rock opera takes place, and then what we noticed over the years is that, you know, whichever opera we're performing, you know, there's a lot of people who love the songs in that, but there's so much material in our catalog that they're like, hey, what about this song? What about that song? And we've recorded so many CDs over the years that we try to give as much as we can to everybody in the audience. So the story will be, you know, about an hour long, but the front of it will perform, you know, certain pieces from different records. And I'd say the second hour, you know, the second half of the show, we're just going to run through our catalog and do stuff, you know, some non-holiday pieces that we've worked on those CDs. You know, there's so many records that we've done, so many songs that people really just look forward to hearing that we try to accommodate everybody.
Our guest, Al Petrelli, Trans-Siberian Orchestra guitarist, musical director, original member here with the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Al, people are going to be getting out to get their tickets. What would you recommend? Is there a better section than another when you go to a TSO show?
I don't think so. I mean, I can honestly say that if you're sitting closer to the stage, you know, you certainly have an up-close personal concert with, you know, the folks on stage. But the further back you go, it almost morphs into something different where, you know, the video screens will be, you know, the movie will be playing during the show, telling the tale, using excerpts from the DVD that we filmed back in 99. And the further back you get, you know, you're just going to see like, well, you know, it's like if you go to the Museum of Modern Art or a place like that where you're up close to a painting and it looks like something, but if you take 40 steps back, it becomes something completely different. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like what our show is. The further back you go, the more you can really see like how the lights and the trusses and every part of the building becomes part of the show and the spectacle.
That's amazing, and I've been to many, and Al is absolutely correct. There isn't a bad seat in the house. The only thing I can say that if you do choose to sit on the main floor, you will get snowed on.
You will get snowed on. You will probably, it will benefit you to bring some sunglasses on occasion. The lights will come into the audience and it'll make you squint for a minute. But it's all good, clean American rock and roll arena fun. You know, I mean, when I was a kid, I'd go to Madison Square Garden to see the bands roll through and everything was larger than life. And, you know, it's just that's what the Trans-Siberian Orchestra wants to do, is continue on the legacy that Paul and his family created and make every show bigger than the previous one.
Outstanding, Al. Is there anything you would like to let the listeners know about that I haven't asked you so far in regards to your upcoming show on December 1st? Again, tickets on sale September 15th. Any final words?
No, I think we covered everything. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. I look forward to seeing you this year, and I can't wait to get back to Sacramento. We love that town. You guys have, you know, always made us feel welcome and embraced us as part of your holiday tradition. So we look forward to, you know, blowing that building up. Nice room, by the way. I think last year was our first time in that building.
It was. I was just going to say, you did the Golden Ones, the new arena for the first time back in 2016, so you get a chance to do it again. How did it feel?
Felt great. You know, it was different. I mean, we've been playing the Arco for so many years. You know, it was just different rolling into a different part of town and playing a different room. But once the lights went down and the folks in your community were in the audience, it felt like we were home again. So, you know, the building is what the building is. As long as we're in Sacramento, we're good.
Very good. Al, thanks so much for being with us. We look forward to seeing you at Christmastide December 1, and stay well until then. All righty?
Back at you, sir. Thanks for everything, and I'll talk to you soon, brother.
Always an interview that Tom enjoys. You can always tell that he really enjoys the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. So they will be in Sacramento soon. You can get your tickets. You can go to travelguysradio.com. We have a link that will take you right to the ticket site if you wish. And right on travelguysradio.com, you can find all the things that we talked about, links to anything we talked about on the program this week, and lots of other important travel information, things that will help you be a smarter traveler. Chris Galloway, thank you for joining me today here.
Absolutely.
It was a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, thank you. I just want to give a quick shout out to the Sports Leisure family. It was wonderful seeing everyone yesterday at our annual tour preview day. The hug quotient was very high. I look forward to seeing you folks on the road soon.
Thank you, Chris. We will be back next Sunday at 3 o'clock with Tom Romano to make you a smarter traveler. We are the Travel Guys right here on KFBK.